This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
This week, from tomatoes to cannabis, gold production in Colombia, novel technology for lithium, bringing silver production to the Yukon, and finding energy from wastewater. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kacerchak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, we take a look at a wide variety of investment opportunities, including mining, tech, and farming.
Like Village Farms International, a very successful large-scale greenhouse grower. It performed so well last year that it's been recognized as a 2018 OTCQX Best 50 company.
In fact, it ranked number 4 on this prestigious list. Jason Palterwich from the OTC Markets Group explains how companies qualify.
The OTCQX Best 50 has a number of criteria that we use in our selection. First and foremost, we use total return and average dollar volume growth as the basis. They cannot be penny stocks. Their closing price as of December 31st, 2017 has to have been above 25 cents. And they have to have traded at least $500,000 in total dollar volume for the year.
And here's how companies benefit from being listed on the OTC.
Access to a broader investor base. So you're gaining access to US investors south of the border that for whatever reason don't want to trade north of the border or can't. So they can trade in their US accounts in US dollars. The other advantage would be an actual increase in their global liquidity.
Village Farms International is one of the largest and longest operating growers of greenhouse produce in North America and the only publicly traded greenhouse produce company in Canada. But the big story is that it's adding a new cash crop to its existing product line of fruits and vegetables, cannabis. We caught up with Village Farms president and CEO in one of his greenhouses in Delta, BC, to talk about his company's move into cannabis.
About three decades ago, we saw a clear opportunity using very high-end agricultural technology for high-value crops that can be grown or need to be grown to meet a market demand on a year-round basis. And over those 30 years, we've become one of the largest producers of produce, specifically tomatoes, peppers, cukes, in North America. We have almost 6 million square feet of high-tech production in Texas, here 4 million square feet, Ontario another 3 million, so on and so forth. When the Canadian government decided to legalize medicinal marijuana, that's when we really started doing our homework and eventually made a decision to move into the space.
This bold move by Village Farms was made possible through a recent joint venture with Emerald Health Therapeutics, a licensed medical cannabis producer also based in BC. Together, they each own 50% of Pure Sun Farms Corporation, a vertically integrated company that aims to be one of the most reliable growers and suppliers of quality cannabis products across Canada and internationally. With their combined infrastructure and expertise, it's a company well positioned to enter the much anticipated recreational marijuana market.
Currently, we're converting 10% of the assets that Village Farms International owns. That 1.1 million square feet conversion of a standalone greenhouse here adjacent to this property represents 10% of the assets we own in Texas and here in British Columbia. And that conversion, once it's fully operational, will generate close to $100 million more than all of Village Farm generates after 29 years in business. You know, I look at our business as we are greenhouse growers in controlled environments, regardless of if it's peppers, tomatoes, or cannabis. And that underlying business of doing that is the same. We're just changing a certain crop, and we've done that many times. In the 9 months since we launched this joint venture, we're on a verge within a year of possibly being the largest cannabis producer in Canada, if not the world. Time will tell, but I think that Pure Sun Farms will certainly be in the top five in terms of capacity, in terms of what's produced in the next 2 years.
And as Michael DiGilio explains, that confidence comes from experience in the science and business of agriculture.
You know, this is a fixed cost business. You don't give a plant more fertilizer and have more yield. But if you use technology, making a better environment, more output of the yields you grow, that all helps to lower your cost, and we do that every day.
Ultimately, the fact that Pure Sunfarms is able to operate as a low-cost producer bodes well for them in a market that has yet to be tested.
With revenues of $200 million as the underlying business, you know, we feel we're in a very de-risked situation compared to our competitors. So I think, you know, we're prepared to be a strong competitor to those other companies going forward. I think our timing's perfect as we're starting to plant out crops over the next few months. This is farming, and you know, we're farmers, and it's been a long battle in 30 years to get it right.
Village Farms recently closed a $10 million financing to be used mainly to bring their cannabis division into full-scale commercial production. You can find Village Farms listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. The symbol there is VFF. And in the U.S., their symbol is VFFIF.
Coming up next, a company that believes it's going to more than triple its annual gold production of 60,000 ounces.
We probably will achieve somewhere in the 200,000 ounces this year.
And later, we turn our attention to silver and a mine revival in the Yukon.
It is, without doubt, one of the highest grade silver districts in the world.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. To set the scene for our next feature, we spoke with Frank Holmes, CEO of U.S. Global Investors. Here's his big picture view on investing in gold.
We do believe that the supply from mines is shrinking, and you have to look for those gold stocks which are stable and have the potential to grow. But really important for all these investors is there's no silly things done by management that destroys the value metrics per share.
Gran Colombia is the largest underground producer of silver and gold in Colombia. It has several mines in production, and ongoing exploration gives blue sky potential to its Segovia operations. Segovia has been expanding and modernizing over the last 5 years. But since we last featured the company on BTV, significant debt restructuring has reawakened investor interest in Gran Colombia. Here's what the executive chairman has to say.
We believe that the market has reacted very positive to the three things that we've done. Number one, the reduction of the debt. Number two, the stabilizing of the cost and the improving of the ounces. And number three, the restructuring of the debt. Not only the investors that have been loyal to us, but now institutional investors are starting to pay attention to this company.
All of this has generated more cash to invest in its main focus, Segovia, which is the most prolific of Gran Colombia's properties. Out of 23 different known vein systems, only three are being mined, which alone accounts for 80% of their current gold production. At present, three veins are in production, with the potential for more in the future.
We believe it's got one of the richest vein systems in Colombia, if not in Latin America. We are mining some incredible widths, some incredible grades. So our next effort is to start stepping out into exploration in areas that haven't been developed in the past.
Also important to note is the work that has been done to upgrade and modernize the Segovia mine over the last 5 years, which has included significant health and safety improvements. The efforts are paying off in more ways than one.
The last time had renovations was about 80 years ago. The first effort that we did was to change the culture of the workers. It's been a complete success, which has stabilized our community relations in the country. The next step that we took started modernizing the plant. Now you have an absolute modern, state-of-the-art, environmentally stable and friendly environment that helps also with the workers. We have developed a much more stable underground exploration and exploitation area by having better tunnels, better ventilation, the first access to a safety area that we developed for our miners in case of accidents, the only one existing in Colombia right now.
A second important achievement has been the increase in production in Segovia over the past 2 years, which has turned into a successful, low-cost, and profitable operation.
We've had two successful quarters of 50,000 ounces per quarter production. We probably will achieve somewhere in the 200,000 ounces this year.
And a third important bit of news is the recent restructuring of Gran Colombia's debt position, which provides investors with a clearer picture of the company's balance sheet. Financier Frank Holmes also agrees that Gran Colombia is one to watch.
This is a company that's now gone from negative cash to a surplus of almost $20 million on the balance sheet. They are increasing their production dramatically, resolved any working issues they've had with people. They've put more money into safety. Their board of directors have very competent people, well-known in Toronto from the mining sector. So I think that the Gran Colombia is in a great position for growth in Colombia.
When it comes to how he wants his company perceived, this CEO doesn't hesitate to offer his take on things.
We have now excess cash that we're going to be dedicating into exploration. We can put our efforts to open up new areas and new fronts. So this company has a growth profile like no other company has right now.
Investors seem to be catching on to this company's story. Long considered by management to be undervalued relative to its peers, the share price recently hit a new 52-week high. You can check out all the details at their website. They're at grancolombiagold.com.
Next up, Entertopia, with a new technology you need to know about.
The key focus commodity-wise is lithium. Last year was the first year that we surpassed 1 million electric vehicles in the world, and it's anticipated by 2040 there'll be 50 million electric vehicles being built every year. Our key project is in Clayton Valley, Nevada, and we're using at-surface rock, and we're turning that into a synthetic brine by adding water and adding different chemicals to change the pH. So it reduces impurities and it creates a very pure lithium brine. And from what we've seen, the purest lithium brine in the industry today. The remainder of the year is our ongoing bench testing with our technology partner, Genesis Water Technologies, to come up with battery grade lithium. Ultimately, we're working on perfecting the technology, upgrading the property in Clayton Valley so we could produce from Clayton Valley, and then licensing the technology to other brine producers in the world as we have the licensing rights for Argentina, Bolivia, Chile, and the United States. The EV industry is one of the fastest growing sectors in our world today. Just China alone will put a factor of 10 to 20 times the amount of lithium that's being consumed today within the next 12 years.
After the break, find out which copper producer this analyst has taken a shine to.
For anyone that's bullish on the outlook for copper, we tend to steer them towards leveraged plays.
Coming up later, putting silver in the Yukon back on the map.
We've put close to 80, 90 million ounces of silver on the books, indicated and inferred.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Copper Mountain Mining has recently completed the acquisition of the Altona Mining Company in Australia, an important milestone in the evolution of the company. With operations now on two continents, we asked Cormark Securities base metals analyst Stefan Ioano about the significance of this deal.
Copper Mountain is obviously one of the first established producers to make a very significant growth step since copper prices turned. I think, you know, people are anticipating M&A activity in the space in general, and you could argue Copper Mountain's been a first mover with respect to that.
Copper Mountain Mining's flagship mine in British Columbia is about a three-hour drive from the Port of Vancouver. They produce about 80 million pounds of copper per year.
We are attracted to the project in that it's a relatively low-grade operation, big open pit, and because of that low grade, it translates into a very leveraged profile in terms of production and cash flow. So what that means is, you know, small changes in the copper price on a percentage basis translate into meaningful changes with regards to cash flow per share, which is a key metric a lot of investors and analysts look to when valuing companies like Copper Mountain.
Analysts now looking at Copper Mountain have to add the company's Australian acquisition into the equation. For about 70 million Australian dollars, Copper Mountain now owns 100% of the Eva Copper project in Queensland.
They're getting a project that on paper has a NAV of about $460 million Australian. So quite lucrative. The thing to me that's very interesting, aside from location globally, it's very, very complementary to the existing Copper Mountain mine. Again, an open pit producing about 80 to 85 million pounds of copper a year at a similar cash cost profile, call it somewhere between $1.65 and $1.85 per pound. For anyone that's bullish on the outlook for copper, we tend to steer them towards leveraged plays, and Copper Mountain is one of the most leveraged plays out there.
The target is for the Eva Copper project to begin production by about 2020. And moving the company forward will be its new president and CEO, Gil Clausen. Everybody loves a comeback story. This one is set in the mining-friendly jurisdiction of Canada's Yukon, where Alexco Resources is moving the Keno Hill Silver District back toward production. The company acquired the 233 square kilometer area from the Canadian government in 2006. This CEO is confident it's time to put Yukon Silver back on the map.
Keno Hill was the second largest silver producer in Canada between 1913 and 1988. It produced a little more than 200 million ounces of silver, but an average grade of, in today's parlance, of about 1,200 to 1,400 grams per ton silver. So it is, without doubt, one of the highest grade silver districts in the world.
The rebirth of silver mining at Keno Hill began in 2011. But even when operations of the Bella Keno mine were suspended in 2013, Scarsdale Equities mining analyst Mike Niehauser, who has been following the company since 2008, knew it was just a matter of time until the curtain was bound to rise on Alexco's next act.
I think Alexco has one of the best management teams in the industry. They're very well-rounded, and it starts with Clint Nauman, who earlier in his career came in to solve some environmentals at Greens Creek in Alaska, and in so doing he found a way to work with regulators and found a way to solve complex environmental problems, build a business around that, Alexco Environmental Services, and that led to him winning a bid, I think among 16 different companies, for the Keno Hill Silver District, which I think was acquired for less than $1 million.
We're in the environmental business because we see it as part and parcel of the mining business. I know it's difficult for some people to get their head around the fact that we're miners on one hand, and on the other hand, we are cleaning up or remediating brownfield sites. We see the two as complementary businesses, actually, and certainly we see the environmental business strategically as leading us to opportunities like Keno Hill.
That opportunity, according to Clint Newman, is contained in about 1 million tons of material from 3 or 4 different deposits in the district, just waiting to be mined.
We've done a significant amount of exploration. We've put close to 80, 90 million ounces of silver on the books, indicated and inferred. We're currently in development, heading towards production. We have an 8-year plan in front of us. It'll be producing about 3.5 million ounces of silver a year, $27 million in capital, internal rate of return of more than 70%. Alexco is a good place to be if you believe that the future in silver is bright. And in addition to that, Alexco is one of the few primary silver producers left in the world, and Alexco will be Canada's only primary silver producer.
There's no doubt the silver is there, but what makes Alexco the right team to mine it?
Alexco is making this transition from explorer-developer to developer-producer. And admittedly, that's a road that's fraught with exposure and risk. But, you know, at Alexco, we have a group of people who have been through this transition before. So I am very confident given the talent and ability of the people that we have around us, that will be successful in making that transition.
Of course, when the mines in Keno Hill Silver District are once again back in business, Alexco will have no control over what's happening in the silver market. But Clint Newman understands what he has to do.
The one thing I can control is costs, and that's where we're focused, and just making sure that our margins are going to be preserved no matter what that silver market is doing.
In addition to their near-term production, Alexco is continuing exploration. The company is confident there's still much more silver to be found in Yukon's Keno Hill Silver District. When we come back, how a tech company is able to recover energy from wastewater. A lot of energy.
In the US and Canada, for instance, that's a total of about $40 billion a year that can be recovered.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Here's what this mining analyst has to say about this gold exploration company, Cardinal Resources.
Cardinal Resources. They're in Ghana, and they've got about, I think, a little better than 6 million ounces already defined right now on their resources. The grade isn't super high grade, but it's your regular West African grade. Nothing that's going to be a negative. I think just the size of the deposit is what's going to get people's attention. For the guys at Cardinal, we're going to keep pushing ahead, and someone, I think, is going to find this deposit of interest.
Next, Shark Energy Systems mine a resource that's literally going down the drain.
The main focus of Shark is to recover the billions of dollars a year that is put down the drain in the form of warm wastewater. So from showers, dishwashers, laundry, all that energy from every house in the world ends up going down the drain system. In the US and Canada, for instance, that's a total of about $40 billion a year that can be recovered. And with that, the associated carbon savings. Shark Energy has really a product for every part of the market. We have a large industrial product called a Shark Unit. We have a single building product called a Piranha, and we're just coming out with a household version. Everything we do reduces carbon. We offset natural gas on all of our installations, so we're one of the leading technologies in the world on carbon reduction. We have now opened on three continents. We have offices in North America, Australia, and the UK. We have installations in three continents. One very exciting project we did recently was convert an entire university in Scotland from natural gas to sewage heat recovery. And the carbon reduction associated with that has won that university acclaim around the world for the system. In the new world order here of reducing carbon, we're going to be a major player, but we can be a very, very reliable, responsible company in the meantime.
I hope we showed you today there's certainly no shortage of opportunities to invest in. But as always, it still boils down to risk versus reward. Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kachachak.
Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
This week, energy storage reinvented, how artificial intelligence is saving energy, gold production in Quebec and the Yukon, plus a cannabis company grows its market share. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kachachak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, we explore some traditional investment opportunities, possibly the next gold mine to go into production, and cutting-edge technology.
Like artificial intelligence, though it's long been a mainstay of science fiction, it's very rapidly entering the mainstream.
More and more, AI is big business.
AI is really opening up doors for us to be able to solve problems that were traditionally considered to be impractical or impossible for people to solve. We're just starting to tap into the real potential for AI out in the real world as we begin to discover access to all of the data that we have and how to pull it together so that way we can apply it to these advanced neural networks for interesting business outcomes.
Sometimes the true value of a technological breakthrough is hard to appreciate right away. A perfect example is a company in Austin, Texas, that's an innovator in the field of solid-state electrical energy storage. Eastor Corp is building a better capacitor. Leading-edge technology is familiar territory for VP of Production Brian Kelly. With 20 years at NASA, he's more than qualified to start us off with some basic science.
Capacitors used in many applications for filtering, for power storage, for cleaning up waveforms, and for protecting electrical equipment from unwanted spikes and troughs.
Many applications is a bit of an understatement. Eastor's founder and CEO, Ian Clifford, explains.
Capacitors are in virtually every piece of electronic equipment on the planet. So improving on existing technology is a constant goal. And Eastor is providing materials and solutions that make those capacitors better.
Eastor is the evolution of Clifford's previous work in zero-emission vehicles. The company reflects his commitment to capital growth tied to social and environmental responsibility. To make better capacitors, Eastor's patented technology starts with a completely different recipe and new ingredients.
We offer replacement technology to aluminum electrolytic capacitors, which are an electrochemical device. Ours are solid state electrostatic, which essentially means that we can last.
Not only are Eastor capacitors tested to be longer lasting, in some applications, they're up to 92% smaller than the incumbent technology.
That smaller size can be directly translated into a cost savings, as the primary cost of the capacitor is the actual materials that make up the capacitor.
Eastor's capacitor material was initially developed by Eastor's leading inventors about 15 years ago and improved upon over the years. Now, over the last 12 months, Eastor's scientists and engineers have brought the technology significantly closer to commercialization.
Our core intellectual property is based on barium and titanium, two raw materials that are globally abundant, non-toxic, and readily available.
We've compared to existing technology and see that we're cheaper, smaller, and last longer.
Once the technology is licensed and commercialized, the capacitor market represents a sizable opportunity for Eastor and their licensees.
The entire capacitor industry is about $23 billion a year. We've recently identified about $10 billion of market potential. The most exciting part of what we're doing today is finding the right licensing partners to commercialize that technology with us.
Three independent third-party testing organizations have certified that the performance of Eastor technology as tested surpasses existing technology on many fronts. Ian Clifford is confident it's time to move forward.
This is not a research laboratory. This is a facility that is designed for scaling. This is something that can become commercial quickly. I'd like to see Eastor inside everywhere.
Apparently, capacitor replacement solutions are only the beginning.
Capacitors define the architecture of the technology that we're building today. The general public is more familiar with the notion of batteries and how batteries affect our lives. Our technology is bridging traditional capacitor technology with the ultimate goal of replacing electrochemical batteries.
Ambitious? Absolutely. But if they can reinvent the capacitor, who knows? Maybe Eastor can do the same for the battery.
Coming up next, a junior gold explorer with his eye on the prize.
3 million ounces of total resources within the next 3 years.
And later, we look at the buzz that artificial intelligence is creating.
Bringing AI, data, and the internet together to solve real big problems is pretty exciting.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. If you think all the value of a gold company lies beneath the ground, mining analyst Barry Allen suggests you think a little differently.
You still, at the end of the day, to have a good company, you need management and property, but the property comes second to management.
Junior gold explorers all have a slightly different story to tell. This one is about a very active company. Making the case for East Main Resources is the company's president and CEO, Claude Lamasson.
East Main Resources is a junior gold mining exploration company that operates mainly in James Bay, Quebec. We focus on high-grade gold assets. The advantage of the James Bay region is that it has major infrastructure that has been developed by the government of Quebec and Hydro-Quebec in the last 60 years.
But even with a mining-friendly jurisdiction, roads, power, and airstrips, East Main wasn't getting the traction many people were expecting. Until quite recently, something was missing.
East Main has changed significantly in the last couple of years. We ended up putting in place a new board of directors, as well as a new management team, with a new vision and strategic plan, pushing fairly aggressively three key projects, including the Eau Claire project as the main asset.
But as far as mining analyst Barry Allen is concerned, while the gold in the ground may be valuable, good management is priceless.
East Main is a company which we got involved in as a result of the management change back a little over a year ago. They've actually done a very, very good job in defining an asset that is of actually very good quality. So we looked at East Main just as a new management group on an asset we thought had some merit. We now have seen a PEA that says there is merit.
The company's three key projects have all been in the news lately. The Eleanor South joint venture with Goldcorp and Azimut announced a major discovery in October of 2017. The East Main Mine Project, a past producer, announced an updated resource estimate last January. And in May 2018, East Main released the preliminary economic assessment for its Eau Claire project.
We were able to define a high-grade gold operating mine that will have a 12-year mine life, a net present value of over $260 million Canadian, an internal rate of return of over 27%, and a payback of just over 3 years. The capital expenditures are estimated to be $175 million Canadian. All-in sustaining costs are estimated to be $574 US per ounce, which is considered extremely low by junior mining standards.
But beyond all the facts and figures, the PEA represents much more to this CEO.
It's the biggest milestone and achievement that the company has done in its history. Considered to be quite superior to many other PEAs that have been issued more recently in the industry, as we took an approach to make it very robust with conservative and realistic parameters.
As a former executive at Goldcorp, Claude is experienced in how to bring significant production growth to the table. As for a production timeline, he offers this estimate.
Beyond the PEA, we are looking at 2 to 3 years of further technical work and environmental permitting and community engagement. At that point, we will end up with a development decision and a construction period that would be somewhere between 12 and 18 months. So production would come approximately 4 years from now.
But perhaps more importantly, the company now has a clearer vision of its future growth potential.
We have a 3-in-3 exploration vision which is reaching 3 million ounces of total resources within the next 3 years.
A challenging goal, but one that many East Main Resources investors will certainly welcome.
After the break, a cannabis company with some serious results.
Their market share went from 3% to 10%. It tripled in a year.
And coming up later, why one AI executive believes his company is definitely in the right place at the right time.
It's taken advantage of the fact that the cost of technology has gone down.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. CanTrust continues to be a leader in the ever-expanding cannabis industry. With growing demand and increasing market share, CanTrust is ready to meet the need with its variety of products and its massive 500,000 square foot facility in the Niagara region. We asked this analyst for his take on CanTrust.
The medical cannabis market is growing very rapidly. The company was gaining a lot of traction with medical consumers. Their market share went from 3% to 10%. It tripled in a year. We see them as one of the best cultivators in the industry. Their yields have reached over 400 grams a square foot, which is almost double what the industry average is. So it's very impressive from a cultivation standpoint. 60% of their sales come from oil extracts, which is way above anybody else in the space, and that speaks to their ability to reach the medical patient.
Partnering with major pharmaceutical companies like Apotex in Canada and Stenocare in Denmark will only help CanTrust move forward and become a global leader in the medical market, as well as the upcoming recreational market.
Well, Apotex has a lot of expertise in formulation and product development, and they're going to speed up CanTrust's penetration of the medical market. Greenhouse production was less capital intensive to build, but also cheaper to operate. And now I have a greenhouse facility in Niagara supplying the recreational market. So I think they're in a very good position to be global leaders. And we think that cannabis is an industry that Canadians can probably dominate globally.
With the number of emerging cannabis producers and the shift to legalization, choosing the right company to invest in can be a daunting task.
Obviously, the sector is extremely volatile. Investors need to have a diversified portfolio approach, and cannabis being a very small part of their whole portfolio, we think the winners in the recreational market at the onset are obviously going to be the ones that have a lot of inventory on hand. They've been able to draw a $15 million mortgage to finance their Niagara greenhouse. So right now, they've got plenty of cash to fund their existing expansion plans.
CanTrust recently closed their oversubscribed bought deal in record time for an additional $100 million to fund future growth. With the recreational market set to open soon, CanTrust is well positioned. Major mining companies are seeing the value of gold continue to increase. According to Gary Sadu, mining analyst with PI Financial, one company in particular has been showing no signs of slowing down. Victoria Gold's Eagle Gold Mine project in the Yukon is on track to be fully operational, as in gold production, by 2019.
We've been covering Victoria Gold for quite some time, and we've been watching it now advancing from a junior explorer to what we believe is a very undervalued near-term gold producer. It's currently trading at 0.45 times its PE/NAV NAV. Victoria Gold was able to table a $505 million financing in order to move the project forward. It was a strategic investment by Osisko Gold Royalties and Orion Mine Financing, two leading firms in the mining sector and very influential. Not only do they get the validation of two strategic partners, but the project is fully financed through construction.
With a solid reserve pushing the Eagle Gold project forward, Gary Sadu believes the key to a successful project is its management team.
In the mining sector, what's really key is a strong management team. You know, not only do we look for a good asset, but I think what's more important is a management team that can advance that asset. So they have to be technically sound, but at the same time be able to raise the money, so have that capital markets knowledge as well. They were able to move that project forward on schedule and on budget based on key construction milestones, such as some of the earthworks that they did last year, the camp expansion, as well as a large portion of the detailed engineering.
With the project fully financed and under construction, the Eagle Gold Mine is on track to be the Yukon's next and largest ever gold mine.
The Eagle Gold Project, we believe, screens very well compared to its peers. When you look at its strong fundamental strengths, especially the higher gold grades at 0.67 grams per ton gold, the low all-in sustaining costs, a very low strip ratio, and not only that, but it's got a very large reserve base at 2.7 million ounces.
The future is looking bright for Victoria Gold as they plan to process about 33,000 tons of ore per day. When in full production, the company expects the mine to produce approximately 200,000 ounces of gold annually.
When we come back, trends we're seeing in the market to help you invest, and how artificial intelligence is saving money.
We do it in real time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Inefficiencies can be very profitable. That is, if you're the company with the smart solutions that can remedy those inefficiencies. In the U.S. alone, it's estimated that commercial buildings waste 30% of the energy they consume. That's a $57 billion problem that mCloud is happy to solve using artificial intelligence.
This is a company that combines two really hot trends right now. The Internet of Things and artificial intelligence. The Internet of Things is basically devices talking to devices and then taking that data from those devices and interpreting whether to act or not. Also, I really like mCloud because they've got a recurring revenue model, which is always great.
At the core of mCloud is artificial intelligence and analytics. We take data, we take trained numerical models, and we predict the outcome, and we affect the outcome of the performance of an asset. And we do it in real time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The AI is influencing, optimizing the outcome of the asset. We do that from the cloud, and we do it for tens of thousands, soon hundreds of thousands, of assets on a global basis.
At the moment, the assets typically include HVAC systems, wind turbines, and electric transformers. mCloud combines cloud technology, the Internet of Things, and real-time data analytics to monitor and analyze HVAC equipment's health and performance. The subscription service they offer is called Asset Care.
Asset Care solution is the platform in which all the AI, the analytics resides, and all of the data resides, and it is what allows us to connect assets around the world. So Asset Care leverages Google Cloud, and the secret sauce inside it is our intellectual property and our know-how.
Some of that know-how comes from the many years of experience Russ brings from his tenure at Honeywell in many senior positions, including president for worldwide advanced software and internet. Some of it has come from very strategic acquisitions.
The reason for going public in Canada is to use our currency to acquire companies like Engrain.
Barry Poe, Vice President of AI Solutions at mCloud, explains what he and his Engrain team bring to the table.
Prior to being acquired by mCloud, Engrain had been around for about 17 years, largely in aerospace and defense, developing innovative technologies that took advantage of 3D imagery, as well as artificial intelligence to do a variety of different things, including automated damage assessment, which is the primary thing that Engrain brings in terms of technology over to mCloud as a business.
Whether it's wind turbine performance monitoring and damage assessment or optimizing HVAC systems, the fundamental business case for mCloud is very clear to Barry Poe.
One of the things that mCloud has done is it's taken advantage of the fact that the cost of technology has gone down, the ability to harness all of the data that's already being created as we work and live and operate in buildings on a daily basis, all of that's possible today. So what we can do is we can take advantage of all that information, make it possible to make some really intelligent decisions through the use of AI, all at a price point that's frankly affordable for everyone.
mCloud customers and partners like TELUS agree with that assessment. Ken Cook explains.
TELUS wants to be involved closely with our customers, and our customers have huge opportunities to generate operational savings. mCloud brings a combination of the IoT thermostats that have been tested and approved, the artificial intelligence and machine learning applications that learn and ingest all the data from different sites.
mCloud's CEO is confident momentum is building.
We started the year as a public company with just under 6,000 connected assets. We have 12,600 after 6 months, and we are on a trajectory to double that again later this year.
And that's just North America. As part of their long-term strategy, mCloud has already partnered with SCN, an established hotel and retail mall developer in China.
If you look at just two cities, Beijing and Shanghai, and the amount of retail space they have in those two cities is bigger than most countries. This is a very exciting time, bringing AI, data, and the internet together to solve real big problems. It's pretty exciting.
To facilitate their global expansion, the company has brought on board a 20-year Silicon Valley veteran, Dave Weinerth. With sales of $5 million and growing, mCloud is one company to watch.
Before we wrap up, some final investment thoughts. First, a look at some of the newer sectors in the small cap market.
The trends that we're seeing in the small cap space, definitely artificial intelligence is one that's come to the fore recently. Blockchain, while still companies trying to figure out how to use it, I don't think you can dismiss that it won't be used economically going forward. And then cannabis space is still very strong.
And on the strength of gold, this final thought.
You got to be patient, know your value, stick with it, stick with the people who actually can execute in this kind of market, and then we can worry about it later when it changes.
Whether you're looking at the new kids on the market,
like cannabis, AI, and other tech companies,
or something more traditional like gold,
there's truly something out there to suit every type of investor.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katrachak.
Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.